final day of the Major League Baseball regular season is upon us. The Toronto Blue Jays playing two today as they were rained out yesterday. These games have no consequence. We're all looking forward to the postseason. It begins on Friday for Toronto. They will be hosting the Seattle Mariners. We don't know what time, Carlo, the game will begin. Maybe our next guest does. He's plugged in. He's an MLB Network superstar. Greg Amsinger joining us here on First Up. What's going on, Greg?
Well, I hate bringing bad news off the jump, but I have no idea when those games are going to start. That really doesn't
send
go
a
down
text.
The wire. You know, the commissioner's office, they work on that stuff on this day. They are still ironing out all the scheduling details on the last day of the regular season. I do not want that job. I'm glad I'm not part of that job, because no matter what you do and where you position the games, fans will complain. That's the beauty of baseball. Oh, yeah. Fans will complain.
Well, and for us here in Toronto, Greg, as you can imagine, I mean, the Raptors have been given some less than ideal spots in the schedule, let's put it that way, because the American television markets, you know, don't reflect the Canadian ratings or however it works. So let's hope it's not one of those like 12-15 first pitches for the Jays and the Mariners on Friday, but I have a sneaking suspicion that could be the case. What is your take on the chances for the Toronto Blue Jays against Seattle? They are the betting favorites. I think a lot of people believe the Rogers Center, very, very quality home field advantage for the Blue Jays. Do you like the Jays over the Mariners starting Friday night?
I've been saying this for the last couple of days. I said it before the season started. I like the Blue Jays in the World Series. I know I kind of made this entire segment very anticlimactic by doing that on the second question you asked me. But I like the team a lot. I like the way they play. Tom Verducci and I had a moment. We were at CC Sabathia's golf outing 2 days ago. And Tom Verducci's like, I don't like the way the Blue Jays play baseball. He's like, there's just their style of play. It's too loose. They don't have any direction. Too many mistakes. To me, this is a boxer that's been waiting for the heavyweight fight. They're so talented. This is the beginning of what I believe could be a great run of championship baseball in Canada. This team's special. They have special players. And the emergence of one guy in particular makes me think the way I think about the Blue Jays, and that's Alek Manoah. Alek Manoah, I fell in love with at the All-Star game. When he was asking John Smoltz what to throw when he was on the mound, I'm like, this guy's got moxie. He's got the bravado I love. He can't wait to pitch a game one. He can't wait to eventually pitch a game seven. This is the guy that, yes, I played high school football, and I was the guy that would walk out of the locker room when the other team would pull up on the bus. And I mean, my reporting skills came out, I guess, when I was 17 years old. But I'd watch these guys get off the bus. And based on what they looked like, the physicality of the human beings as they got off the bus, I'd walk back in the locker room and be like, guys, we got this thing. We got this thing. Or I'd be like, well, this is going to be a really hard game. This is going to be a really tough night, fellas. Strap it on. It's not going to be easy. Alek Manoah walking off the bus would make me walk into that locker room with guys, it's going to hurt. That's what he is, man. He's the old Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens throwback. Toronto, get excited, because Alek Manoah is going to give you plenty of exciting moments this October.
I love it. We're joined by Graham Amsinger from the MLB Network. And, Greg, I love what you're saying, because you're a guy that I teased to come onto the show as the psychic. Because a couple of months ago, you made the wildest prediction I think anybody could ever hear, and it came true. So the fact that you're saying this about the Blue Jays should make us all feel really good. Let's listen to that prediction so that people can understand what I'm talking about.
Albert's going to play so much more than people think. He is. He's a draw, and he's going to be productive. He will reach 700 career home runs.
I do have bad news, Cardinal fans. I have bad news. He's going to hit his 700th career home run on the road.
And only fitting it'll be in Wrigley, right?
No.
Friday night in Los Angeles in September.
Dude, Friday night in Los Angeles in September is the exact time Albert Pujols hit his 700th home run. How did you make that prediction months ago?
Yeah, and that prediction was in April. It was a prediction special before opening day, and I threw that together. You know, I throw stuff against the wall every once in a while, and it sticks, and I'm very proud of that. Other predictions don't come true. People ask me all the time, well, you know, how long am I going to live? Are me and my wife going to make it? How many kids am I going to have? You know, I've had like four of these predictions come true, and I can only, so like, when I say I feel it, that it's only a prediction that I really feel. Someone asks me to make a prediction, even about baseball, if that's not something I'm feeling that I want to predict, then I'm out. But I tell people all the time, I do a 3-hour TV show where the games dictate what we talk about. I don't say what I think. I don't have time to think about anything. I'm reacting. I only say what I feel. That's amazing. All I do all night. So when I make these predictions, it's all based on what I truly feel, what I'm the most passionate about. And I'm from St. Louis, born and raised there. Albert Pujols was my favorite player when he played there. Ozzie Smith is my favorite player of all time. Well, I made this prediction that Albert Pujols would break 700 in April. But 3.5 years ago, I was made fun of on St. Louis Sports Talk Radio because I said, guys, get ready. The DH is a big deal. DH in both leagues when it comes means Albert Pujols will end his career in St. Louis. And my friends in St. Louis radio would almost try to change the subject to help me out in my credibility because I sounded like such an idiot. Albert Pujols couldn't hit anymore. Everyone thought he was just a platoon player. No one thought he could ever get it back. And they thought my analysis was really idiotic. So why stop bringing this up, Greg? St. Louis doesn't want him back. And all of these really highly trained broadcasters who are also impacted by the analytical movement in baseball are trying to just keep up with the smart game, right? When I saw Albert Pujols come back for the first time as an Angel to Busch Stadium, and the Cardinal fans got on their feet, and he played out of his mind, hit a couple home runs, and Cardinal fans went crazy when he beat their own team. And I saw the way he was impacted by the love. I believe in the humanity, and I'll sound like a moron on your show right now. I believe in the humanity of the game. It's the last pixie dust we have left. If we think that a spreadsheet will give us all the answers, we are dumber than the people in the front office thinking that love matters, right? They laugh at us for saying this. I knew Albert Pujols was going to come back to St. Louis and find it again. I just did. He was trained to be loved. The day one of his career, he played like a Hall of Famer. For 11 years, he played like a Hall of Famer, and he was adored for it. He left and went to Anaheim, dealt with injuries, and some kid named Mike Trout made him an afterthought. He didn't understand how to be an afterthought, played terribly, came back to St. Louis, and he found it again. The humanity of this stuff matters. I knew he was going to play more than people thought. This whole glorified pinch hitter, DH against lefties, I wasn't buying it. So I knew he was going to play a lot. The prediction of the specific date, I just looked at the calendar and I was like, I think he's going to hit more than 21. He needed 21 home runs. So yeah. The way I looked at it was, it's going to happen on the road. I actually picked it against Clayton Kershaw. I said it was going to come off against Clayton Kershaw. To my credit, on Tuesday before that game, they moved Kershaw from Friday to Saturday.
Oh, Bruce!
I almost named the entire thing. And yeah. I think my friend Dave Roberts wanted to make sure I didn't gloat too much about it.
Well, hey, people that call you a moron are absolute morons themselves because you're a genius, my friend. And you said you've got St. Louis ties. I'm not sure if you remember me. I used to play for the St. Louis Blues. We've met at Albert Pujols' golf tournament, the golf tournament that I won and got a signed jersey from Albert Pujols. So I love him just as much as you do. So I love this whole chat, but I want to ask you, because Pujols, what he's done for baseball this year, 700 and now 702, great story. Obviously, you shared your passion about it. But another great story is Aaron Judge hitting his 62nd home run, beating Roger Maris. Which moment is more significant for you? Is it Judge hitting his 67, or is it Albert Pujols doing what he did?
Well, crazy to think that the more likely record to be broken would be the Maris record, because Aaron Judge hit over 50 home runs his first year in the big leagues. Albert Pujols, the way he was viewed going into the year was probably the most unlikely of the two. But for me, someone that in St. Louis, the year Mark McGwire broke the record, with my college buddies, we went and waited outside Busch Stadium. When they opened up the gates in like the eighth inning, we snuck in. And after he hit 62, I went down to the field and scooped up dirt in a cup. This is legit. This is an
no way.
I have dirt from Busch Stadium in a cup, in a baggie, in my closet. And every time I look at it, I feel like an idiot. I'm not going to throw it away because it's a reflection.
You could sell that thing, man. Somebody will buy it. They bought air from the Rogers Center.
I don't even want Judge's the money run. From it. I don't even want the money from it. It was a gigantic waste of time, and that makes me upset. So when I was on the air last night, I decided – I was on after the Aaron Judge game. We carried the game on our network. I decided to tell all my friends. It was all with Harold Reynolds, Dan Plesac, Alex Avila. Eventually, we brought in John Morosi, who interviewed Aaron Judge live. I go, guys, are you upset with me? Because tonight, I'm not calling Aaron Judge the American League single season home run king. I'm calling Aaron Judge the single season home run king. He is the guy that broke 61. He's the guy that did it. The other names on the list, and I said, we all have a responsibility to the next generation. If you're sitting on your couch with your son or daughter, and you see everyone celebrating number 99, Aaron Judge, and your child goes, but why, Daddy? There are three guys that hit more home runs than him in baseball history. I'm looking at this graphic right here. Why are we making such a big deal out of 62? Isn't it our responsibility to let them know, the next generation, that those other three guys were tied to performance-enhancing drugs, a.k.a. they cheated? Isn't that our responsibility? And they all said, yes, it is. Look, if you told me that a young person for the first time ever aced an SAT, one of the highest standardized tests in America, aced it, which is a really hard thing to do, but someone said, three other people did it first. It's nice. It's awesome. But it's not that big of a deal. We've seen three other people do it. And I said, but wait a minute. They got caught cheating. They had answers to the test. And they go, yeah, but they still got the perfect score. So it's not that big of a deal. Well, wait a minute. This person didn't cheat. It literally happened. We've never seen a human ace this test without cheating. Yeah, but the records say that they still have a perfect score. So why are we letting people that cheated, that tainted records of our holy grail of baseball, which are our stats, why are we allowing them to alter our reality? I don't care if the records aren't changed. I don't care if there's an asterisk or there's not an asterisk next to his home run total. Why are we as human beings allowing that to be the reality? Aaron Judge, in reality, is the only human to hit 62 home runs without being tied to performance-enhancing drugs. I was in the building. I host the draft. I met him when he was right out of Fresno State. The physicality of this young man is exactly the same as he was last night when he was rounding the bases. This man should be celebrated even more than what he is being celebrated. He is the single-season home run king.
Greg, I would love to continue this conversation. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I will say, however, to answer your question, whose responsibility is it to, you know, inform the youth about the past and what happened? I would argue the responsibility falls to Major League Baseball because it is their records, and in my opinion, they have failed in that respect because, I mean, I think you could make a pretty compelling argument for Judge, but just the way that the record has been looked upon in the past and currently at this very moment, I think you have to consider, in my personal view, Bonds to be the record holder. But if they went back at the time and made it clear, hey, these records are tainted based on Bonds and McGwire and Sosa and everything they've done, then perhaps the conversation would be a little bit different. Doesn't take anything away from me for what Aaron Judge did, but again, this is a heated debate, and we'll be having this for a long time, no doubt. Greg, thank you so much for doing this again.
You're awesome today, Greg, man.
You're the
awesome
man, Greg, and I know you're great at predictions. Maybe text us your thoughts on Bitcoin or something, because we could use something. You got any thoughts on
I'm
that?
I'm just looking at hotels in Toronto for the World Series.
All right. You can stay at Carlos' house. You can stay at Carlos' house, no doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're welcome. welcome anytime, buddy.
All right, that's Greg Amsinger from MLB Network. Thank you to him. A great guest. And if you miss any of the interviews here on First Up, find our podcast wherever podcasts are found, Spotify, iTunes. I think that's the only two things that anyone really uses anyways. Hour number four of First Up. Coming up on the other side, we have Dave Festruck from the Toronto Star, Keegan Matheson from MLB.com, locked and loaded for the final lap around the track. It begins after this.